This episode of Stage 9 is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek FM at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
You're listening to Trek FM.
Hello and welcome to Stage 9, Trek FM show about the people who make Star Trek. I'm Mike.
I'm John.
And I know that we've been gone for a while, and I'm going to place that blame solely on me. I apologize to everyone.
I also place that blame solely on Mike. Just for the record, it's Mike's fault.
It's perfectly fair. I've been caught up with, I've had disco fever, and I've been on the edge of insanity for the past 5 weeks or 4 weeks or whatever.
And now I desperately want a disco duck, since you've had disco fever. And for anybody not familiar with Disco Duck, it is a song, and you can look it up.
I'll have to do that. I'll have to do that. Yeah, I've been over on the edge doing stuff, and you know, it's not like it's more important to do that because this is my first love and my true love. Just like you, John.
Oh, thank you, Mike. I'd say the same thing.
But you know, it the edge is the it's the. I think it's interesting looking at the numbers. I do the most popular show on the network and the least popular show on the network.
And don't be so hard on the edge. I mean, okay, Stage 9. We're proud of where we are. And we know how we stand with things. So you know. Don't be so hard. It's a new show. It's getting going. Don't worry about it.
But just because nobody listens to this show doesn't mean that we don't have our fans. And
we do.
In fact, it's kind of like, you know, the big blockbusters, the big money makers, haha. And you know, then the prestige pictures, right? The ones that you do to get your Oscars and even though they're not going to make any money, right?
So you're saying that we're the art house production for the Trek FM network. I'm down with that. Okay,
right,
okay.
Right.
Okay.
I'm not saying that we're better than those or anything like that, because as we discussed last week on Great Shot Kid, even though Blade Runner 2049 is the art film and you know Force Awakens is the you know popcorn movie, I like the popcorn movie better than the art movie or whatever. I don't know. This analogy is just spun completely out of control.
I feel like we've
saucer section of disco.
Yeah,
you know?
we have pushed the tardigrade too far, and it is now folded up on itself with all but 1% of its water.
Yes. All of this is to say that Stage 9 is a finalist for the 2017 Parsec Awards.
Woohoo! That's pretty fantastic. I'm gonna take a second here and say, wow, that is so much of an honor and so cool, man. It's really, really cool, and you know, it's in no small part to the fact that we do have, like you said, we have our loyal listeners, the people that really that dig us, and you know that's been noticed. So thank you so much for that.
Yeah, thank you very much. We're nominated for Best Podcast About Speculative Fiction Content Creation. The other finalists are Two Gay Geeks, Lightning Dogs, the Official Podcast, Audio Drama Production Podcast. How do you say this? Calliope writing?
Oh, no, Calliope.
Is that Calliope? That's Calliope. How you say Calliope?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's Calliope Writing Coach Podcast
by
Angie Fenimore and Michael Sheen.
My aunt's cat's name is Calliope. I've never seen him write out his name for me, so I didn't know how it was
spelled.
That's
a lazy cat, Mike.
All right.
Cats do know how to write their names. You just have to ask properly.
Yeah, so you know, congratulations to our fellow finalists, and also congratulations to a couple of other shows on Trek FM who are nominated, including Meta Treks and the 602 Club. And also, yes, congratulations to my co-host, John Mills, who is nominated for another show over on the Nerd Party called Aggressive Negotiations.
Oh, Shay. Thank you. Shucks. Yes. That's that which is co-hosted by another Trek FM co-host, Matt Rushing. So, yeah, you know, yeah, Trek FM's out there, y'all. So thank you for getting the word out.
Apparently, both you and Matt are twice as good at podcasting as I am, because you're nominated for two instead of one.
So I wouldn't go so far as to say that this is a scientific case study in that.
I think it's a fair analysis, you know, but whatever.
I don't think so.
So thanks, everybody. You know, we really appreciate it. And thanks to the Parsec Awards. And we'll keep you posted if we win. That's not going to happen. No.
It's anyway. Hey, think positive. Come on, man.
Okay, I'm positive that we're not going to win.
That's the Mike Schindler that I know. There you go.
All right. So should we move on to Discovery?
Let's move on to Discovery. Okay. By all means. It's what the kids are talking about today, Mike.
We recorded a whole podcast about our reaction to the first episode, and I'm not going to name names, but somebody didn't edit it. That would be me.
I was totally willing to pin the blame on somebody else, Mike.
So, you know, at this point, we felt like, oh, it would be kind of crazy to talk about our initial reactions to Discovery, you know, 4 weeks out. So we're going to still release that episode, but we're going to release it as a patron exclusive for those people who are patrons of the network over on patreon.com/trekfm. So head on over there if you want to hear this, and we would really appreciate your support. But in the meantime, we figured we would give just a few thoughts on Discovery and also cover a little bit of news and such. So,
yeah.
Okay. We just saw episode 5 of Discovery, John.
We did.
What are your thoughts on the show in general?
In general, I can say that the show has not grabbed me up to the point of episode 5. I thought that the it's good but not great has been my general reaction, where I have looked at it and said, yeah, you know, it's okay, but there's nothing about it where I'm going to somebody who's either a reticent fan or a non-fan and saying, the comparison I always draw is with Breaking Bad, where after I watched an episode of Breaking Bad or the first episode of Lost, and I was going to people saying, you gotta watch this show's amazing, I wasn't having that reaction. But I can say that the fifth episode, Choose Your Pain, with the teleplay by Kemp Powers, who we talked about here on Stage 9 with his play, was great. I thought this was the first episode where I was fully engaged from beginning to finish and thought that all of the character interactions and dialogue were organic, flowed freely, and had me hooked. Because I'm watching on the version of the all-access app that makes you watch commercials, where I was sitting there through the commercial breaks saying, okay, come on, hurry up. I want to see what happens next. So what have you been thinking so far?
I've really been digging it, I have to say. You know, I think that it's, I mean, part of it is that I'm just kind of excited to see where Star Trek is now. You know, I'm always excited to see what the newest interpretation of Star Trek is. But whereas, like with Enterprise, where I'm like, oh, that's really interesting, and then by episode 3 or 4, I'm like, okay, you know, here, like, I mean, I'm waiting for Sunday night. You know, I'm just waiting for Sunday night all week long, and I'm distracting myself by doing a million podcasts about, you know, this week's episode, just so that I don't have time to sit around and think, like, is it Sunday yet? And then, you know, it's almost like my entire, you know, week revolves around that that show, you know, 7:30 p.m. on Sunday nights, much like the saucer section of the disco. And
8:30 p.m. Eastern, I'll point out.
Okay, yeah. I'm on real time here, central, you know. But yeah, you know, it's very intriguing to me. You know, is it Breaking Bad level good? No, but I mean, seriously, what is? I can think of like two shows, you know, that are as good as Breaking Bad.
That's a fair statement. That's a very fair statement.
But I do think that it's one of, if not the most solid first season of Star Trek. And I mean, part of it is, you know, and I keep on saying this, like, I don't really want to make too many grandiose statements yet, because we are only a third of the way in. I really do see this as being like one big long 15-hour episode, and I want to see where it finishes before I decide definitively how good or bad it is. You know what I mean?
I do. I'll say that I'm not going to say it's the best, but I will say it's the most cohesive first season.
Mm-hmm.
Because every first season of Trek, there's been ups, there's been downs, but primarily within, from episode to episode, there's been, this is an episode I'm going to skip when I go back and rewatch the season. You know, TNG has stuff like that, DS9 has stuff like that, et cetera, et cetera. You know, there are episodes where you're like, I'm not really going to watch this again. So it's definitely been the most cohesive. So that definitely is a plus in its favor.
But the thing I think that I love most about it, or love most about watching it, is the fact that I have no idea where it's going from week to week. I don't see any sense of formula at all. And I really do feel like it's a story which is continuing, and I'm continually surprised by it. And I love that. I love everything about that. I mean, the episodes work on their own, you know. I mean, like the episode that we just saw, Choose Your Pain, completely fine. I mean, obviously there's a lot of themes which are extending, you know, throughout, but it tells its own complete story, you know, right there, and it's pretty awesome. But yeah, on the whole, I'm super excited about it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm still not on the excited train, but I'm intrigued. No lie, this fifth episode, Choose Your Pain, sort of saved my interest.
Yeah.
I was really just sort of like waning, and after last week, I was like, But now with Choose Your Pain, I'm back in.
Yeah.
Like I'm definitely coming back for the sixth episode.
I really did get a kick out of seeing, you know, Kemp Powers' name on there, since, I don't know, I mean, we've been championing this guy from the beginning, from the very first episode of Stage 9. And, you know, it was kind of awesome to see him deliver. I mean, not only was the episode awesome, but then, you know, you immediately go on Twitter and, like, literally all the reactions that I saw were like, this is the best episode yet. I love this episode. This is the first time Star Trek has made me cry since Deep Space Nine. You know, someone said that. I mean, it just across the board, like, you know, passionate love for this episode, you know, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And I think it is because of his experience as a playwright. The dialogue was great. Every interaction was great. And every interaction felt so natural and so necessary to the story. And I'm not saying that to knock the other writers on the other four episodes, but they very much had an air about them of, we need to relay information, so we're pushing this information. Maybe it's just the added benefit of being far enough along now,
mm-hmm.
that they're not so concerned with trying to set up the world. They can actually just go in and say to him, just give us characters, just make the characters work. There's maybe less burden at this point, basically, in terms of, you know, oh, the saucer section spins, or, oh, this is how the tardigrade is going to fit in, or, oh, this is how this is all people having emotional interactions.
Yeah. And this was, I would say, the most character driven of all the episodes. I mean, the most sitting around talking, in a sense, you know. Yeah. I mean, there's, you know, four guys in a jail cell for, you know, or three guys in a jail cell for a good portion of the episode, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, it all worked really well. Also, I mean, I don't know, I haven't heard anyone complaining yet, but for all the talk of, you know, Harry Mudd and what's he doing on this show or whatever, it's like, now we know, and it makes sense, and it works perfectly well, you know?
It does, and I thought that the performance was pretty great, because this was the comparison that I will draw will be one that not many people will get, and that's fine. But my favorite band of all time is The Doors, period, hands down. As a teenager, I was obsessed with Jim Morrison and the whole mythos built around him, you know, the dark, tortured poet sort of thing. And so when Ray Manzarek took them on tour again with Ian Astbury as lead vocals, I was very nervous about seeing them because, you know, wow, how are you going to possibly step into those shoes? And you have a very fixed idea of how each piece is supposed to work. And when Astbury was on stage, he was himself, but an echo, like it was familiar enough. He wasn't parroting what came before. He was building on it and paying tribute to it. And that's what I think Wilson's performance for Harry Mudd was in this, was it was an updated echo of that, but its own thing at the same time. And that is an incredibly difficult thing to pull off for an actor to come in and give an updated version of somebody. I mean, we saw it happen with Spock in 09 and everything like that. There's this great tension of, oh, how are you going to do this? Oh, it's its own thing while at the same time feeling familiar. That's a very difficult thing to pull off. And I really think that you have to give a lot of credit to that performance.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. I thought he was really good. So, okay. Looking at, you know, I mean, we've seen some of the people, we've seen some of the credits, you know, on the show and everything. It's kind of interesting, some stuff. But before we talk about that, just because it's Discovery, of course, there's a couple more writers who we didn't know about before. Yes. Who are working on this show. Two in particular, Jordan Nardino and Lisa Randolph. Have both joined the writing staff at some point in time. I mean, obviously it was a while ago since, you know, they just finished filming, or I'm sorry, digitally capturing the season. But Jordan Nardino, he has written for, well, he worked with Bergen Harberts on GCB. He also wrote for the 10 Things I Hate About You TV show. That was on a couple of years back, which was pretty cool. He worked on Desperate Housewives. He wrote an episode of The Gilmore Girls. And most recently, he's been a writer on Quantico, which is a show which I've been meaning to watch forever. It looks cool. I don't know.
Yeah, it's definitely got, it had some good press. I think Quantico is one of those ones that's definitely a victim of the current TV landscape, and is probably something that when I see it, when I'm browsing Netflix, I'll say, "Oh, hey, yeah, I'll watch that. I've been meaning to get to that."
Yeah, yeah. Sooner or later. The other writer is Lisa Randolph, who worked with Bergen Harberts on Rain, but she's also written for Gilmore Girls, The Shield, Being Human. So yeah, and she's a co-executive producer, if I'm not mistaken. So she's pretty high.
Sorry, I just want to say that if she worked on The Shield, I know that I throw a lot of love at Breaking Bad, but The Shield is another one of the greatest television shows ever created. So
I hear that a lot. Yeah. I feel like I need to check it out.
You really should.
Okay.
You really should. The Shield is one of the best that has ever been on the air.
Okay. All right. Well, that's cool. So two more writers, and just because I think we've mentioned him before, but I feel like we've pretty much glossed over him forever. Sean Cochran is on the writing staff. I think this is his first like gig as a writer on a television staff. So shout out to Sean Cochran.
Woohoo! Welcome aboard.
So just going through the list of people, because this is, we have more writers than we have episodes at this point, right? The people who have at some point or another written for Star Trek Discovery and have contributed to it in some way or another. Brian Fuller, Alex Kurtzman, Gretchen J. Berg, Aaron Harbert, Akiva Goldsman, Ted Sullivan, Joe Manosky, Lisa Randolph, Aaron Eli Colite, Jesse Alexander, Jordan Nardino, Craig Sweeney, Nicholas Meyer, Bo-Young Kim, Erica LaPolte, Kirsten Beyer, Kent Powers, and Sean Cochran. That's like literally...
That's a lot of writing.
You could literally, like, if Berg and Harberts were each, like, captains, they could, like, they'd have enough people to pick sides for, like, a pickup baseball game with just the writers of the show.
Well, and that, you know, and in Star Trek tradition, you know, baseball's always been shown a lot of love, so why not?
They should do it. I would go to see that game.
I would, too.
Why not?
Absolutely.
Anyway, so we've seen, you know, I mean, I guess I keep on watching the credits. Like, one of the things I'm most excited about, you know, it's frustrating because on one hand, I'm like, I want to know who's writing and directing every episode. Like, if someone were like, was like, here's a list, I'd be like, give it to me now, you know, but like, I'm also like, sort of like excited every time I see one. Like, lots of times I know, like, we knew that Lee Rose was directing this week's episode, but I had no idea who was writing it, right? So when Kemp Powers' name came up, I'm like, oh, yeah, you know? Like, last week it was Jesse Alexander and Aaron Eli Colite. I'm like, what? Like, I thought that they were gone. I was wrong, big time, but, you know? Exciting. That's exciting, you know? So Akiva Goldsman directing episode 3, that was cool. And Craig Sweeney wrote that episode along with Berg and Harberts, so that was cool. Olatunde Osunsanmi directing episode 4, that was also cool, since he's like the co-executive producer, you know, from the directing side of things. And then this week we had Lee Rose directing with Kemp Powers writing. Next week, fairly certain Doug Arne-Okoski is directing. He directed Highlander Endgame, which I love, and Nurse 3D from the writer of Star Trek V, The Final Frontier, which I love.
I guess we got to watch Nurse 3D, huh?
I have.
It is October. We're coming up on Halloween.
I think that would be a good idea. I think we could totally do that for next week, right?
Okay, fine. Let's do it. Nurse 3D.
All right. Let's do it.
Do I have to watch it in 3D?
No. I'm going to be watching it in 3D. But
can I just have somebody slap me every 5 minutes and watch it in 2D?
I mean, the 3D is really good. They actually shot it in 3D. So, but
all right, maybe I will actually track down where my 3D glasses that were packaged with my television were.
Yeah, because you've got a 3D TV. Oh, how could you not watch Nurse 3D in 3D?
Very easily, by not enabling the 3D or putting the glasses on. That is how I could watch it not in 3D.
But see, this is the whole thing. Like, you say, like, okay, there's a movie coming out. It's called Nurse. And I'm like, I don't want to say, like, if you were to, like, give the description of that movie and be like, yeah, this movie is called Nurse. It's about a nurse who, like, basically, like, finds guys who
is
are,
in
like,
three dimensions.
Well, yeah, like, she finds guys who are, like, cheating on their, like, significant others, and then she, like, seduces them and kills them. And I'm like, well, that sounds, you know, schlocky or whatever. But then you say, oh, it's in 3D. And I'm like, oh, I'm in, you know, let's see this, you know.
That rationale, I have to ask you, because so far as I knew the entire time I was growing up, the title of the movie was Friday the 13th Part 3 in 3D.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean to truly appreciate Friday the 13th Part 3, one must watch it in 3D?
Well, I think it does. I mean, I saw it one time, one time in 2D, and I vividly remember the scene at the beginning where the guy is raking leaves, and there's this really awkward composition where the handle of the leaves as he's raking is like for some reason like center frame, you know, and it's like clearly they were trying to poke people in the eyes with this leaf raker.
A rake. and there's the popcorn. The high people are doing the popcorn at one point, and it's popping up at the screen and stuff like that. Fun little side note: Friday the 13th Part 3 was a movie that a young John Mills watched on TV when I lived in the middle of nowhere as a kid, and when the movie was over, found myself in the one room in the house with lights on, and I was home alone. And when I say we lived in the middle of nowhere, I mean we lived in the middle of nowhere. And that movie was terrifying to me for a very long time until I watched it as an adult. And I said, this is just terrible.
It's really, really bad. It's so
bad. But maybe if I'd watched it in 3D, I wouldn't have had such a negative opinion of it.
I can't imagine my opinion being any worse of that movie if it were in 3D. Because, I mean, that's a terrible, terrible movie. But
pretty much every Friday the 13th movie is, except I know, Jason X.
Jason X is the only good one. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, although, you know.
Oh, Freddy versus
Jason. Goes to Hell. I'll also say that Jason Goes to Hell was one of my favorite movie going experiences of all time. I've told you that story before, so I won't bore you with it this time. But that was one of the best times I've ever had in movie theater in my life.
Yeah, yeah.
So because it was just my buddy and me, and like one other couple or something in there. It's like we had fun. So anyway, all that to say, we're gonna watch Nurse 3D, and I might watch it in 3D. For stage 9.
Yeah, hey, I say let's do it. Let's do it, right? I mean, come on, why not? You know?
Oh, I can think of plenty of reasons why not. But I will anyway.
You love Star Trek V: The Final Frontier. You know, it's from the same writer.
I have a very complicated relationship with Star Trek V, but yeah, love.
Oh, we know that you have a complicated relationship, but yes, we also know that you love it. So don't deny that.
I do. That is true.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's pretty much all there is to cover in terms of, you know, Discovery and stuff, you know, getting caught up, whatever. You know, at some point down the line, maybe we'll talk about Eight-Legged Freaks. We watched that, you know, because we were going to talk about that. And then because Jesse Alexander, that was his first movie and stuff, you know, it might be good for the Halloween. You know, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Why not? Yeah.
But yeah, in the meantime, well, it's been fun talking about Star Trek Discovery today, but that's not all we're talking about here on Trek FM. So here's a look at what you may have missed elsewhere on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, Literary Treks.
Yeah, so Trip, of course, is working to take down Section 31. We as Star Trek fans who have watched all of the shows and read a bunch of other novels know how that's ultimately going to go, but in this story, he's, you know, kind of convinced that Harris is Section 31, kind of the be-all and end-all. He's at the top. It's his own private little army that he's constructed, and Trip is aiming to take them down.
The 602 Club.
And this is happening a lot more in the Star Wars books, and I think it's because it allows them freedom, which is to do books that become character studies. And I think it's very clear that this book, in a lot of ways, is a character study of who this person is and what it is that causes the actions that we see in The Force Awakens to make more sense.
Stage 9, a podcast about the people who make Star Trek.
By getting people like Braga to come on board and work on this show, what they're going to be doing is deconstructing that thing that they did for all those years on Star Trek.
Earl Grey.
Is there anything else we need to add, or do we think that's the...
Are we going to cure Riker?
Oh, shoot, I forgot about Riker. Yeah, sure, fine, we'll keep him around.
Yeah, we've cured Riker. And then for me, this would, yeah, or not.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out all these shows and discover what we're talking about in your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts on the iPhone, the iPad, or the Apple TV, or on the desktop iTunes app, and get the latest episodes as soon as they're published. And please leave us a star rating and a review. If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Google Play Music, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Windows Phone, and most third-party apps. And you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website or grab the RSS link as well. If you want to contact us, join the Babel Conference on Facebook, which is our listener group. Just type Babel, that's B-A-B-E-L, into the search field on Facebook, and we'll come right up. If you'd like to send us an email, you can use the form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Just choose to send to a show and select Stage 9, and we should come right up, and it'll come right to us. You can also find the network on Twitter at trek.fm or on Facebook at facebook.com/trek.fm. John, where can people find you on the internet?
Well, you can look for Kessel Junkie, and that's who I am over there on the internet. And you can also find me co-hosting Words with Nerds with my pal Craig. And then you can go on over to the Nerd Party and listen to the Parsec Award-nominated aggressive negotiations with me and Matt Rushing. But you can also listen to Great Shot Kid with me and a lovely gentleman known as Mike Schindler.
Yeah, you can find me over there doing that show, and you can also find me on CommentaryTrackStars.com doing a show called Commentary Track Stars, and you can find me right here on Trek.fm doing a show called The Edge, where we talk about Star Trek Discovery at great length. We'd like to thank our associate producers today, Jeff Sutter, Chris Steftenagel, and Norman C. Lau. Thank you very much, guys. If you'd like to be like Jeff, Chris, and Norm, head on over to patreon.com/trekfm and become a patron of the network. If you go to our patrons' website, you will get all of the details about becoming a patron. Perks include early access to episodes, exclusive content like this episode one Discovery podcast that we recorded and never released, producer credits, and more available through our special patrons website, Patron Zone. It requires a great deal of money to produce, host, and distribute these shows each month, and we really appreciate any support you can give us and hope you'll join the team. Again, you'll find all the information at patreon.com/trekfm. All right, so Discovery, it's going full throttle right now, and we'll definitely keep tabs on it and see what's going on. And, you know, with it being Halloween and everything, I guess it just makes sense to do Nurse 3D next week because, hey, why not, right?
I see no reason not to.
You sound so convincing. It's a thoroughly enjoyable movie. It's super, super trashy, and I love every minute of it. So, yeah.
All right, okay. Super trashy. All right, I'm on board.
All right, cool. We'll talk to you next week.